I love that reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The angels appear to the apostles and say, why are you standing looking at the sky? What are you waiting for? And they were probably just so overtaken by the moment that it just kind of, they didn't know what to do. They just stood there, like in a trance of some sort. But then they went about their business. But I think we tend to do something very similar. When something happens to us or our world or our church or whoever, sometimes we just stand there and we just like we're dumbfounded, or maybe in that trance, or maybe so enraptured by the moment that we just can't break away from it. When I was in college, I had a music teacher, a voice teacher, who was he was such a perfectionist, like John. He had an ear that was so keen, and I mean, it's just, if you ask him for an A flat, he gave you an A flat, you know. If you ask him for a C sharp, he would give you a C sharp with no pitchfork or anything like that, you know, or what do you call those things? Tuning fork. Not pitchfork, somewhere else. But anyway, I remember one time we were warming up for a big concert that we were supposed to be putting on. And he got so filled up with the warm-up that he was, I mean, we had this whole big program that was supposed to go through, and he spent a half hour with the warm-up. And we kind of, you know, but there was one chord that we were singing, that we hit this chord, he gave us the notes, and everybody does their thing, you know. And all the voices were, and apparently the sound absolutely put him into one of those moments of ecstasy. And he kept holding that note, you know, and you take a breath and hold us more. And he could not get enough of that sound. And I think sometimes in our life experience, we experience stuff like that. Unfortunately, when it's past, we just let it go. We don't think a whole lot about it. But the apostles, I mean, they were very close to Jesus. They were his friends. They associated with him, they ate with him, they talked together, they walked together, they worked together, they did all kinds of stuff all the time. And suddenly to see him depart from them, they kind of say, what are we going to do? Even though they knew all of the stuff that he had taught them, and Jesus said, I'll send my spirit, that my spirit will remind you of all the things that I gave to you, so that you can bring them to other people. And then they went about their business. But he does the same thing for us. Jesus sends us his spirit. You know, he figures, I guess, that he can accomplish a lot more with a billion people than he could with 12. Or that he could do by himself. So when he ascends to heaven, he says, I'm really not leaving you. You won't see me as I am now until the end of time. But my spirit will dwell in you. And he will remind you of all that I taught you. So that your mission now is to go out into that world and to teach all people. Mothers have to do this a lot. Frequently, they are in the home with the children, giving that. They're the ones that teach them respect and love and honor, forgiveness, understanding, patience, how to pray. Mothers basically are the ones who do that in the home. But Jesus said, I empower you to go into the world and do what I did. Tell all of the world that I saved all people, everybody. I don't care what continent they come from. I came to save all people. So starting from Jerusalem, you go out into this whole vast world and you tell everybody, I entrust this to you because I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to assume my place in heaven, where I will oversee, where my spirit will guide everything that you do. I'm not abandoning this church that I started. I'm with you always. Except that now I've multiplied my being by millions. Go into the world and tell the world that I came to save all people, that I love all people, that I forgive all people. Now, we look at the apostles and say, they really did a good job. When you consider how they started off with just a few people, how in a very short period of time, how they had reached several different countries surrounding the Mediterranean in a very short time. It was amazing, really. And then we look at ourselves and say, well, if I'm called, which we are, every one of us, if I've been baptized, the Spirit of God dwells in me, if I've been confirmed that, reaffirmed that Spirit within me, I've been called and sent in the same way. So it's like our Lord saying to you, I trust you with my message. Maybe the bishop doesn't trust you, but I trust you. Go into the whole world. You will know what to do. I will guide you. I will help you. My spirit will be there. Open your minds. Open your hearts. Listen to what is being taught to you. Look at the sacred word. Understand it to the best of your ability. And be willing to share it with other people. I'm going to the Father, but you are going into the world to carry out this message that I give to you. So instead of sometimes standing there looking at the sky and wondering, okay, now what am I supposed to do? Maybe we need to just look at who we are, where we are, and say, what am I doing right now? What am I doing now? Am I a mother at home, or a mother who's working and at home and doing all of these things? What does a Christian mother do? Or a father, what does a Christian father do? What does a Christian student do? What does a Christian worker do? What does a Christian anybody do? We look at ourselves and where we are and what we are doing, and probably what we are doing right now is where we're supposed to be, and we are supposed to be bringing that message of salvation that Christ gave to us to wherever we are. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We should be proud to be able to do that. We should be proud of the fact that God said, I choose you. I send my spirit upon you to go into this world, wherever it may be that you are. And you talk about Jesus Christ. Maybe more by your life and your actions than by the words that you speak. But somehow we are responsible to bring that message to our world today. And sometimes we just kind of shake our hands and say, well, they made a law against that. Tough. God is beyond the law. He's superior to the law. And his law, oversees and guides all other laws. If they don't, they're not a good law. So when he says to us, I entrust this message to you, it means that we honor God, that we allow him to be the center of our life. And not like our world is becoming today where if you mention God or Jesus or something of that nature, you're somehow to be avoided or to be silenced. We don't tolerate that. We speak out about what we believe. Christ is the center of my life. My life spins around him. What he tells me to do, that is what my life is about. That's more important than anything else. If he said, I want you to respect all life, even those of unborn infants to the old people who can't take care of themselves anymore, they still have life because I give it to them. I want you to honor that life as I want you to honor your own life and treat yourself as the temple of God which you really are. I dwell in you, he says to us, to each and every one of us. I've chosen to dwell in you. My spirit dwells in you. So we honor this temple of God that he has given to us and where he chooses to live among us. We honor that, we respect it, and we treat it with the respect and honor that we should. And we could go on and on with these things. We talk about our environment, as our Holy Father does periodically, and our need to protect what is our common land, what is our common world. We need to protect it. You can't keep destroying things and figure that somehow, God will figure out something. What he has done is given us the brains to figure that stuff out pretty much ourselves. But that is the way we are in this world as missionaries in this world. That is the way we bring the message of salvation to other people. We show them by the way we live that I truly believe in my God, that he truly is the center of my life, and that I don't care what the law says, if it's contrary to God's law, I will follow God's law. He is the one I love. He is the one I serve. And that's what I will do. So this feast day today is a feast of all of us, because ultimately it's where we all hope to be, that we will ascend to sit next to our Lord somewhere in heaven. That's what our mission is in life, that we live this life in this world to the best of our ability so that one day we can share it for all eternity with our God. That's what we celebrate today. His ascension, and where he is, he wants us ultimately to be with him. But we have to listen to the voice of the angel who said, what are you looking at the sky for? Get around to the business at hand. Do what I ask you to do. Remember that God loves you and trusts you enough that he says, I dwell in you. My spirit dwells in you. You bring my message to other people. He trusts you. Do we deserve that trust sometimes? It's a good question to ask once in a while.